I'd like to begin this evening with an expression that is found in Psalm 34 and verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. That's a beautiful part of Psalm 34, reading down through verse 8. And the psalmist opens this chapter by saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And the question might come to our minds, how can we bless the Lord? And I think we can bless the Lord by just simply saying thank you. Thank you for all your manifold blessings on us. That blesses him. He loves to see his people expressing their gratitude. I want to notice with you another expression over in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5 of the Thessalonian letter. We have a beautiful expression. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's notice verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So the Apostle Paul says that we're to give thanks in everything. Now that doesn't mean that we're to give thanks for everything. If you have a car crash or you're diagnosed with cancer, or your child is sick, we don't give thanks for those things. But the psalmist says, in everything give thanks. No matter what we're going through in this life, we ought to have a thankful heart. We ought to be giving thanks to God in everything, for this is the will of God. How many of us want to do God's will? Well, it's God's will that we give thanks in everything, and we praise him. I want to go back a moment to the Psalms of David, and let's notice Psalm 100. Psalm 100, beginning in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. God has a people all over the world, and they should be making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. One way we can know that a worship service has been effectual in our lives, if we leave church rejoicing and giving thanks for all of God's blessings on us in this life. And you know, beloved, it would be good, it would be a good skill for us to develop to look at the simple everyday blessings that we receive from the good hand of God. Now, you know, if you have surgery for some serious illness and the surgery is successful and you get well and you're able to go home, we all know we'd probably all be very thankful for that. That's a major thing. But we ought to be giving thanks for all the everyday blessings of life. Amen. The food we eat. I mean, we're all blessed with plenty to eat. Most of us eat two or three times a day or more. And we ought to be giving thanks for our food and for our raiment. The clothes we wear, that's a huge blessing from God. And we ought to be giving thanks for our raiment and water. How many of us just ever thank the Lord for a simple cup or bottle of water? I was thinking about this the other day for some reason. When I was about 5 years old, it was in 1953, we had a major drought here in Middle Georgia. And it lasted from, I think, 1950 to 1957, but 1953 was the worst of the drought years. And a lot of wells were going dry here in Middle Georgia, a lot of wells. Our well went dry where I live down the road. A lot of people's wells went dry. There was one well in this community that never did go dry, and that was the well here at Cool Springs. Some of y'all are nodding. Y'all remember that. I remember riding up here on a sled behind a tractor. Franklin was pulling the shed on the tractor. The roads were dirt back in those days. And we had two gigantic barrels, and we brought them up here and filled them up. Water is an incredible blessing. But how many of us ever think about it? I'll have to confess, I don't think about it like I should. But every time we get a good drink of water, we ought to just say, thank you, Lord. Water is a huge blessing. In Africa, where I went a number of times, good, clean drinking water is a rare thing. A lot of people get very sick from the water they drink. I used to buy these huge bottles from water from Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. It's the highest mountain in Africa. They call it the crowning jewel of Africa. And it was delicious water. And you could get a bottle this tall for like 25 cents. And I would order a lot of bottles before I got to Tanzania, because so many people there just can't afford drinking water. Thankfully, some friends of ours have started the Sweet Water Ministry in Africa, and they have made many trips over there providing filters for people to filter out the danger in their water. And that's a huge blessing to them. And I remember the first time I was ever in Africa, in Tanzania, Brother Obey had gone back and gotten a group together to worship, and they were meeting under a tent. When we got there, Obey had rented a tent for us to use, and we had a communion service. And Sister Mary, Brother Obey's wife, was instructed to cook us some unleavened bread. And it looked almost like a pound cake. But it was unleavened, and we had to just break little pieces off of it. And they had gotten us a bottle of wine, and we like to never got into it. We didn't have one of those things you use to open a bottle of wine. We finally got into that. And then we were going to have a feet washing service. And you know, there wasn't any water anywhere for us to use. How are we going to have a feet washing service without any water? And I remember walking out on this little dirt path beside the tent, and a young boy was coming down the path with a wheelbarrow, and he had a big 5-gallon jug of water. and we bought the water from him, and we had a feet washing service. Now, beloved, how many of us just want to thank God for a good, clean drink of water? Those are huge blessings. But we don't sometimes appreciate the water till the well goes dry. But hopefully, if we would read the scriptures that instruct us to give thanks in all things and to bless the Lord continually, then maybe we could develop a deep sense of gratitude for life's many blessings on this earth. I want to notice with you a passage in Psalm 118 and verse 24. The psalmist says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Now, this has been a beautiful day, hasn't it? Right here in middle Georgia. I mean, the sun is shining. Sister Tini told me she likes this time of the year because she can come to evening service and get home before dark. Sun's still shining. You know, that's a blessing, isn't it, for elderly people that have a little trouble seeing at night. But this has been a beautiful day. And you know who made it? The government? You think United Nations made it? No. God gave us this day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, that particular day right there might have been referring to the day when Jesus came into this world and died for us. That's a day we ought to certainly be giving thanks for. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I want to turn with you now to a passage of Scripture in John's Gospel. And I think this will be a familiar lesson to all of us. In John chapter 6 and verse 11, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks." You know, there's a large multitude of people that are hungry. Let's back up and notice beginning in verse 5 of John chapter 6, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now Jesus is asking one of his disciples, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Did you know the Lord tests us? He tests our faith. He wants to really see if we trust him and believe in him or not. Well, he was proving Philip by asking him this question. And he said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Now that's the question that our carnal mind would ask, that our doubting mind would ask. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 500. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, listen to that. This is the Lord of glory, the incarnate Christ, who has all power in heaven and in earth. But when he takes the loaves, he gives thanks to the heavenly Father. He thanks Father for what he's got. Do y'all get that? He gives thanks. And I love this lesson. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now Jesus is not a waster. He didn't want you and me to be wasteful. He says, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men that when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And you know, they leave there and get into a boat to cross the Sea of Galilee. And they got 12 baskets of bread left over. What do you reckon they did with those 12 baskets? Well, I'm not sure. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm going to give you all my opinion. I suspect the Lord gave each of those 12 disciples a basket of bread to remind them how he can provide. Now, I want to tell you, beloved, when you live a life full of thanksgiving, it brings more blessings into your life. You can't enjoy anything if you're not thankful for it. A person with a thankful, grateful heart sits down to a simple bologna sandwich and can enjoy it more than a man sits down to a 16-ounce ribeye with all the trimmings, but he's not grateful for it. I want to tell you, when you eat something and you're just thankful for it, you enjoy it more. Are y'all agreeing with me tonight? I tell you, it's so easy to take life's blessings for granted. And it's so easy for us to doubt God's ability. But I want to tell you tonight, God can provide. He can make miracles happen. And he is doing it in our world today. And we need to trust him and give thanks to him and know that he can provide for our needs. Whether it's a little or a lot, our God can abundantly provide for us in this world. Ingratitude does not bring blessings. I can assure you of that. So let's just try to be mindful of the common blessings of life. Now, there are many other blessings that are not common, but we ought to be thankful for them. And one of them is the Word of God. You know, I found myself this week just hungering for the Bible. I'd neglected reading 2 or 3 days. I hate to confess that to y'all, but it's the truth. I wasn't feeling well, and I was sleeping too much, and I just kind of neglected my Bible. And I got hungry for the Word of God. And I was so thankful I had one in English that I could read. Y'all know what a blessing it is to be able to read? It is an incredible blessing. My friend Obey from Africa, his parents could not read and write. They didn't know how to read. They just had to take somebody else's word for what the Bible said. But Brother Obey was able to go to school and get an education. If you can read, you ought to praise God for it. There was a time in this country when a lot of people didn't get to go to school. They didn't get the privilege of learning how to read. My dad, he went through the third grade. My dad was born in 1893. Boy, education back in those days was scarce. He went to a one-room schoolhouse. Now, a third grade education back then was probably equivalent to, I don't know, 8th or 9th grade today. I know y'all don't believe that, but if you go back and look at their textbooks, you'd be shocked at what they were learning in the 3rd grade. But listen, brethren and sisters, to have a Bible and to be able to sit down and read the Word of God that was divinely inspired by the Almighty and sent to us and preserved for us, what an incredible blessing the Word of God is. And I want to tell you, this book has had a profound influence on the shaping of the United States of America. When you read the writings of our founding fathers and they talk about the Creator
And we have rights given to us by the Creator. Where did they get that information? From the Word of God. And you and I need to be reading our Bibles and hungering and thirsting for the Word of God. And when I did open the Scriptures, and you know, sometimes it doesn't matter where it opens, you just start reading and enjoying, wherever it is. Do y'all ever get hungry for the Word of God? It just satisfies. There's something about it that just satisfies. And we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You know, a little baby, and we did have one in the church. Well, we got one baby left. We had some in the back. I don't know if they had to leave or not. But let me tell you, a newborn baby, they get hungry. They're going to let you know about it. They're desiring milk. You and I ought to be desiring the Word of God like babies are milk. And it just satisfies and helps us to grow in our spiritual lives. And we ought to be thankful for the church of the living God that He built on this earth 2,000 years ago. Satan has been trying to destroy it all of these centuries. But praise God, until this hour, it's still here in this community at Cool Springs Church. Are y'all thankful for the church? To have a place to come on a Sunday night, to gather with your brothers and sisters in Christ and sing a few of the old hymns, join your voices together and praise God. I believe God is pleased when His people gather to worship Him. It's a Thanksgiving service. We don't wait till November to give thanks. I like the Thanksgiving holiday. It's probably my favorite holiday of the year. You don't have to go out and buy anything for anybody. There's no stress in it. Have y'all noticed that? Christmas time, boy, it can be stressful, can't it? You got to buy all those gifts. You got to try to find the right gift for the right people that don't need it anyway. But it creates a lot of stress. But I want to tell you, Thanksgiving, we just hopefully just gather together, enjoy our families, our community, and just give thanks to God. That's a wonderful holiday, and we thank God for it. And we ought to be thankful for this country that we live in tonight. Now, I want to close tonight with the greatest blessing of all, and that is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me tell you, beloved, by the time, you know, if you start giving thanks for everyday blessings like water, or your food, or your clothes, or, you know, your family, your children, your grandchildren, your brothers, your sisters, your house that you live in, your car that you drive. Let me tell you, the list is long, and we ought to all have a Thanksgiving list. Just keep a list of the things that we are blessed with and look over it every once in a while, and maybe it'll stir in us a sense of gratitude to God for all of His manifold blessings. I'll tell you something I love. I've been listening lately to a testimony by Johnny Erickson Katata. Some of y'all may remember her. She's about my age. And when she was a teenage girl, she dove into a lake and it broke her neck. And she has been a paraplegic all these years. Somebody has to feed her. They have to change her diaper. And I tell you, for a couple of years, she wanted to die. But over these years, she has grown in her amazing faith to God. And if you don't know about her, I would encourage you to read about her. And she's learned to paint. She puts a paintbrush in her teeth. And she paints very pretty pictures. I mean, they put them on cards and sell them by the thousands, tens of thousands. She'll sing a little. It's amazing in that wheelchair. And you know what her motto is? Let gratitude be your attitude. Now, listen. We're talking about somebody who has been paralyzed since she was a teenager. You just think about it, living in a wheelchair. But she's grown in her Christian faith. She's grown in her gratitude. And Nelda and I watched her the other night in an interview. And I tell you, it brought tears to my eyes to hear that girl talk about how thankful she is for God's grace and mercy in her life. And she loves Jesus. I can tell you, that woman loves Jesus. And she praises Him. And she's looking forward to that day when she gets into heaven and she won't be in a wheelchair anymore. And she's praising God for the hope she has of a better world than this one. To die is gain. And for her, it surely will be. So, beloved, I want to come with you now to Hebrews chapter 1. And I want to notice with you what the apostle says. God, beginning in verse 1 of Hebrews 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. We know that God in the Bible is divided into two testaments, the Old and New Testaments. In the Old Testament, God spoke to the Jewish fathers in many different ways and on many different occasions, through dreams, through visions, through speaking to them audibly. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. That's in the New Testament. This is God's final word to the world when it is spoken to us by His Son. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Now, I want to notice with you two expressions, two clauses that describe the Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Now, Paul is writing this to the Hebrews, and he's reminding them that God did speak to their fathers through the prophets in the Old Testament. But now, in the New Testament, He is speaking to us by His Son. And how does He describe the Son? He says that He has been made heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Now, I want you to think with me tonight. If Jesus Christ made the worlds, and He did, the Bible tells us in the scriptures that all things were made by Jesus that were made. And without Him was not anything made that was made. God created the world through His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the creator of all things. Listen to the text. By whom also He made the worlds. Now my question is, why would anybody who could make the universe, create the universe out of nothing, why would He need to inherit anything? Why would Jesus need to inherit anything? If He could make all things, why would He need to inherit anything? I think in this verse we see the two natures of the Son of God. We see His divine nature as the eternal Son of God, having power to speak the universe into existence. But we also see Him as Mary's Son, having been born of the Virgin and lived on this earth, and was among the poorest of the poor. When Jesus Christ was on this earth as Mary's Son, the Bible says that Mary and Joseph were so poor that when they went to Jerusalem to make an offering, the law required them to bring a lamb. But if they couldn't afford a lamb, you know what the law allowed them to do? Go out into the forest and catch a dove. And offer that dove unto God. The poorest of the poor were allowed to offer doves. Mary and Joseph were so poor, they had to offer a dove. That's the kind of family Jesus grew up in. Poor people, extremely poor people. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ had nowhere to lay His head, no place to call home. He said Himself, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. You know, our birds are not homeless. It's amazing, isn't it, how they can build their nest? I put a bluebird house up at our front yard the other day, and thank God we've got some bluebirds taken up there, and they're beautiful creatures. You have ever seen a homeless bird? No. Foxes, they have a place to live. God provided them with the instinct to have holes to live in. But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. You talk about poor. He was homeless. When his disciples would go to their homes after a day of visitation and teaching, they would go to their homes, and Jesus would go out into the mountains and spend the night. He loved to go to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He felt welcome there. They were hospitable to Jesus, and they were close friends, but that was not his home. He was a visitor there. The only thing that Jesus owned on this earth, as far as I know, was the robe on his back, a seamless robe. He had to borrow a donkey to ride in Jerusalem, and you remember that? He didn't have one. The only thing he had was the robe on his back, and it was a seamless robe, apparently a beautiful robe, but the soldiers stole that from him and gambled for it at the foot of the cross. And in naked shame, your Savior and my Savior hung up there, dying for our sins and our iniquities. So y'all have heard this so much, do y'all just kind of take it for granted? You know, you can hear something long enough till it just doesn't get our attention much anymore. Nelda and I, when we were living in Birmingham, we lived on Columbiana Road right next to an assisted care home. And let me tell you, there were so many ambulances coming by, we got to where we didn't even hear them. Well, I want to tell you, you and I can hear the gospel so much that we just kind of take it for granted. That's why we need the Holy Spirit in the worship service to kind of stir up our minds. See, I don't have the ability to make this real to you all tonight. But if you're there and you have a grateful heart and a spiritual mind and a love for Jesus, you just love to hear it over and over again, don't you? When I went to see my nephew yesterday, Ricky, his sister Linda was there, and she had a lot of pictures that I hadn't ever seen before, but they were pictures of all of us when we were little kids. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't have these cameras on these phones. We didn't have the phone. We didn't have all these pictures taken. I mean, it's a rare thing to see a picture of us when we were kids. Linda brought them, and I just sat and kept looking at them and enjoying them. How many of y'all ever get the family album out and just keep looking? So you love them. Well, I want to tell you, that's what we do at church. We open the family album. And I just keep trying to show y'all Jesus. How many of y'all love him and just enjoy, keep looking at him? Well, I want to tell you, beloved friends, we don't want to ever take him for granted. Life can get busy. Pressures can come in on every side. Some think this young guy, this farmer that died with the massive heart attack, was under a lot of stress because of farming. And that's understandable. Life can get hard. But I want to tell you, you and I need to keep our minds on our Lord Jesus. Now, Paul says that he made all things, and yet he was made heir of all things. I want you all to look at me with me tonight. When Jesus Christ, our Lord, was on this earth, the Bible says in Corinthians, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." There's no, you buy food. We got some hamburgers right now in the refrigerator. They need to be cooked because they got an expiration date on them. Well, I want to tell you, God's grace doesn't have an expiration date on it. It's amazing grace. Jesus Christ. Here is Paul's definition. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you define grace? Paul defined it for us. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich as the eternal Son of God, having made all things, heaven is his, and yet for your sakes he became poor, that we might be made rich through his poverty. Now, the Bible says, yes, he made all things, but as Mary's son, he had nothing, but he's been made heir of all things. When Jesus Christ in his resurrection body came out of that grave, I want to tell you, all things were his. He became possessor of the universe. Can y'all believe that? The whole universe belongs to him as Mary's son tonight. And I'm going to tell you something that will get you even more excited. You're heirs and joint heirs with him. Did you know that when you and I leave this world and go to glory, we're going to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Everything that's his will be ours, and it'll be ours jointly. I tell you, eternal life is a gift, and we ought to be praising God and thanking God for it tonight. We didn't have to work for it. We don't have to earn it, but we ought to be thankful for it. Amen. We ought to be praising him. You know, Martin Luther, who was raised a Catholic, knew he was a sinner. And he thought he had to work his way to heaven. And he would flog himself with a whip for hours on end. He laid out in the snow, naked, trying to impress God with the fact that he punished himself for his sins. The poor man was in darkness, thinking he had to go through all of this in order to earn a home in heaven. And he found out it's by grace. It's a gift. How many of y'all tonight are thankful you know it's a gift? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's be grateful. Let's bless the Lord at all times. Thank you all for your good attention this evening.